Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Richard Boley, Director of the Office of E-Diplomacy within the U.S. Department of State. Also joining our conversation today is Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. So, Richard, I have the pleasure to talk to many of our guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us more about how you're leveraging partnerships to improve operations and outcome?
And partnerships are crucial to e-diplomacy. We've, just from a very parochial standpoint, we've brought in Franklin Fellows. There's a wonderful program that the State Department has, which allows people to come in from private sector, academia, for 1 to 2 years as a fellow. And we've had our third fellow just actually recently started, one from the Berkman Center at Harvard University, another from Intel, and the most recent from Hewlett-Packard. They bring this wonderful, fresh view of what's going on outside, and it really enlivens and deepens our thinking. It helps keep us from getting into a rut. For the Virtual Student Foreign Service Microtasking Platform, we have a wonderful collaboration with Robertson Foundation for Government. It's a great foundation which took a risk on what is very kind of a cutting-edge effort. And we have an approved collaboration with them, which has blossomed. And we also did a conference with the Robertson Foundation for Government, the American Academy of Diplomacy, Visioning Tech Diplomacy, where we pulled together for a retreat, for a weekend retreat, technologists from Silicon Valley, former U.S. ambassadors, graduate students who are Robertson scholars, and brand new, freshly minted foreign service officers, and took case studies from the past of key diplomatic events and said, you can either take today's technology and push it back or take that event and pull it today and say, how would things have been different? It was a very dynamic, exciting, and revelatory experience. And we couldn't have done that without our partnership with Robertson and the American Academy of Diplomacy. We often, with our tech camps, we're dependent completely on people from the private sector of deep skills, basically coming if we pick up the cost of their travel, or if they're, sometimes their companies self-fund. So we have had people from Twitter, Facebook, Google, as well as Frontline SMS, Ushahidi, a lot of organizations are doing wonderful work with technology and then helping to apply that to solve these civil society challenges.
So we're in an era of fiscal constraint, and agency leaders, it's critical for leaders to act with strategic intent to keep workforce motivated in this time to meet mission goals. Thinking about your leadership, tell us how you continue to keep your employees focused and motivated in the face of this kind of dramatic, sometimes painful change. How do you ensure that your office continues to fulfill its mission and deliver results in this context?
Well, that's a great question. And I think, personally, I'm somebody who's incredibly thrifty. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Ecuador, and I actually saved money on my Peace Corps stipend, so enough to be able to take a vacation trip to Chile while I was there. So I'm, you know, very thrifty, but at the same time, you know, never am short on celebrating and recognizing great work. So there are limits, financial limits to what we can do. And frankly, if somebody's working in government, they didn't come into it for the money. They came into it for the passion. And to be able to feed that passion, recognize it, reward it is essential. I always look for opportunities to do that, both internally and externally. And we do have just a phenomenal team. We have incredible everything from coders to foreign service officers, civil service officers, contractors, people who are passionate, the Franklin Fellows, interns, and it's an incredible team. And having people understand that they're part of something much bigger and that everybody's got each other's back is crucial. And you know, you create a great environment and people, you know, are motivated not by the money, but by, the autonomy, mastery, and purpose that they gain from their work.
So moving from your team to the world, you've been a proponent of fostering global entrepreneurs as an element of U.S. foreign policy. How has your interest in work in fostering entrepreneurialism helped in your current role in leading the Office of E-Diplomacy? Can you highlight the parallels between the two efforts that really mark your foreign service career? What are some of the key lessons you've learned?
So, yeah, that's the two passions of mine is, or two of many, but is entrepreneurship. It's one of, I think, America's great contributions to the world. And from a diplomacy standpoint, it's something you can always open a conversation talking about entrepreneurship and then move on to subjects that maybe people are more reticent to talk about. But the other key thing is that, you know, entrepreneurship and failure are two things that go hand in hand. Entrepreneurs are not afraid of failure. If they were afraid of failure, they wouldn't be entrepreneurs because the probability of failure is really high. And I like to think of, you know, in government, it's hard for us to focus on failure. We're sometimes like a mouse in a bell jar where the world can see everything we do. And sometimes our political masters have their thumb on the oxygen. So it can be tough to confront failure, but without confronting failure, you don't learn. And if you don't push yourself to the potential of failure, you're not going to have kind of transformational change. So obviously in government, it's always going to be, and I love baseball, so I like to compare it to roles-based risk-taking. I mean, if you're a batter and you fail 2 out of 3 times, you go to the Hall of Fame. If you're a fielder and you fail 1 out of 10 times, your manager takes your glove away from you. So it all depends on your role. And in government, of course, you know, we have a lower tolerance for failure. You know, the high risk taking is happening in among entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley and Austin and New York.
Richard, I'd like to turn to the future. What trends do you see over the next few years in the evolution of e-diplomacy and the social media tools that make it a reality? And how do you envision state shifting and pivoting to capitalize on these trends?
So it changes. I said before, changes sometimes best not to even mention it. Let people evolve into a new place that they see the benefits of using these tools. And so the key for us is to continue to look for important work, so core work to diplomacy in the State Department that can leverage our platforms and have people through firsthand experience see the benefits of using them. We have a lot of ideas that we're excited about the possibility of doing. One is to integrate more closely these platforms that I've mentioned, Diplopedia, Communities at State, Corridor, and Search. And then the other is to actually look at our more traditional communications, the cables, and look if we can add a social side to that. So how exciting would it be to have these formal diplomatic cables have a conversation wrapped around them? So that would be something that would be very exciting, and we're exploring that possibility.
So Richard, as we close this conversation, it's been very insightful. I'd like to get your advice. What advice would you give to someone who's considering a career in public service?
I would say go for it. There is no bigger platform. There's no bigger influencer on what impacts the globe more than government. Government takes a bum rap from some sectors. It sometimes can be the piñata that everybody wants to hit, take a whack at. But government needs innovators. It needs people who are excited, passionate, care deeply, and for those people, there are tremendous opportunities. Take the Foreign Service exam. If you're a student now, sign up for the virtual student Foreign Service. Sign up for internships. If you're in the workforce now and you're wondering how you can get a taste of what we're doing, send me an email and we'll explore a Franklin Fellowship. There's many ways to become involved. And if you want to wake up in the morning feeling passionate about what you're doing, knowing that it makes a difference, go to sleep knowing that the world's better off from the day of work that you put in. Government can provide that.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you for your time today. But more importantly, Dan and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Richard Boley, Director of the Office of E-Diplomacy within the U.S. Department of State. My co-host today has been Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.